say this often, but I'm going to try to be brief this morning. This weekend was a special weekend for a couple people here. It was the graduation of our grade 12 students. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking kind of specifically to them this morning. But if you have graduated or you've gone through school or you're a little bit further down the line, you can probably look back at different markers in your life or maybe traps that you are currently in that we're going to talk about this morning. And if you haven't graduated yet or if you're too young to be at this stage, you can learn some things hopefully this morning that prepares you for that time as well as we talk this morning. Graduation is full of questions. What school will I attend? What career will I choose? Where will I live? Who will I become? These are all questions that I'm sure these two have been asked many times, even this last week. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? I didn't know. Congratulations, too. Perfect. So three of you, then, I'll be talking to. Amazing. Culture says you must have a five-year plan, right, for what your life looks like. You must have a five-year plan, a 10-year plan, 15-year plan. What we're going to find today in the Psalms is that we need to have a faithful God. That is far more important in our life, in our development, to have instead of having a five-year plan, that we need to have a faithful God. Psalm 37 is where we're going to talk from this morning, and it was written by David later in life, looking back over decades of victories, failures, hardships, and he offers wisdom to those beginning their journey. Psalm 37:3 says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." And graduation often brings pressure to have life figured out. But Scripture says, as we read it, it never says for us to have everything figured out. Instead, it says, trust the Lord. Constantly, it says, trust the Lord. It says, do not be afraid. Trust God in what He's asking of you. Trust means placing your confidence in God's character rather than your circumstances you're going through. You see, circumstances never leave us, do they? We are all going through various circumstances, even this morning, even in this moment. I have seen on social media, I've heard from some of you, of the circumstances you're currently going through because this rain just won't stop. And the floodings that have happened. And the cleanups that are transpiring because of it. And it's a consistent thing that we are experiencing around this region. When we were driving home from Calgary, or when I was driving home from Calgary earlier this week, I was driving by on Monday all of the roads that were already washed out. Calgary, there was really no rain. It was beautiful. And driving up here, you started to see some of the destruction. And so I can see some of the circumstances we are facing can cause us to begin to question the very God that we serve. Whether it's flooding, relational, financial things that we're going through, we can begin disguising ourselves from our confidence in who God is. You see, what's going to come for you graduates especially, is that degrees may open doors, your skills may create opportunities for you, but your confidence needs to belong in God and God Himself. The safest place for us to stand, and those of us a little bit further along in the journey can hopefully attest to this, but the safest place to stand is wherever God leads us. Not where we take ourselves, but where God leads us. The psalmist continues, David continues, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Our culture tells graduates to chase happiness, to chase wealth, to chase influence, to chase your dreams. David tells us to first chase God. When we delight in him, he reshapes our desires to align with his purposes. We say here that we exist to introduce people to Jesus so they may experience fullness of life. When we chase God, our desires to reach our community align with who he is, who his character is. And our success without Christ eventually leaves us empty. I can talk to countless people who have achieved monumental success in their life, and they still experience emptiness. One of the folks in one of the stories that they share in Alpha, quote from Jim Carrey, "I wish everybody could achieve all the fame they've ever desired. I wish everybody could accumulate all the wealth that they've had and realize that it's still not enough." Somebody who's achieved monumental success in our world to our culture standards is still saying that it's not enough. And culture tells graduates to chase those things. A life centered on Christ produces lasting joy regardless of your career, regardless of your accomplishments. When we have a life centered on Christ and him alone, we experience a joy that we cannot explain, something that only comes through him and him alone. David continues on, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn." The word commit carries the idea of rolling a heavy burden onto someone stronger. Graduates often carry heavy burdens, fears of failure. When I started my college journey, I didn't have the grades to enter in, and I was on academic probation to start, which meant if I failed any paper, I would be kicked out of university until I was off academic probation. Fear of failure is a real thing as you start university, college, or wherever you're headed. There's a pressure to succeed. There's financial concerns. They're saying it is harder today to enter into the housing market than it was in previous years. That is a very key thing as you enter into this world. Uncertain futures. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But here's what we do know, that God never asked us to carry tomorrow alone. He asked us to give it to him. Before we make decisions entering into college, before we enter those types of relationships we're going to have entering college, before we enter into the real world, who knows what that really means anyway, right? I often said that before entering pastoral ministry, that I worked in the real world. I don't know what it really means. But when we make big decisions, we have to ask ourselves, where is God leading us? How can I serve him? What honors Christ in all of this? I am speeding through because we have a very important budget meeting after the service today. We want to speed through that as well. David goes on in verse 23. "If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. I want us to notice something here this morning. David doesn't say believers never stumble. In fact, everybody in this room has stumbled at some point in their lives. Sometimes more so after you encounter Jesus. He says they are never abandoned. He reminds us that we will make mistakes. Graduates, you will choose the wrong class. You will miss opportunities. You will experience disappointment. But failure does not have the final word. God is able to steady, restore, and redirect through your journey as you enter in this new stage of life. A stumble is not the same as defeat. I love that song we sung this morning, that God has already won the battle. We don't have to face the battle because it's already been won this day for each of us in this room. Before David speaks about the future, he reflects on God's faithfulness throughout life in this passage. Every graduate reaches this day because of many gifts: God's grace, parents and family, even teachers. And I bet you didn't like all those teachers, did you? They both looked at Ari. But each one of those teachers prepared you for this moment moving forward. You had gifts of friends, church, if you had church, other opportunities. The future is best entered with thankful hearts. Gratitude reminds us that we didn't get here by ourselves. You had people in your corner. You had moments of frustration, moments of late nights, moments of missed assignments, moments of extensions on missed assignments. And yet you made it. Maybe barely, but you made it. In a lot of ways, graduation is not a finish line, but it's a starting line. The diploma in your hand is valuable, but an obedient heart is priceless. You don't have to know every step. You simply need to know the one who orders your steps. And that's what this next step of your journey, or next stage of your journey, needs to begin to look like a little bit more. As you enter the unknown, you need to latch on to the known. You need to latch on to the one who does know where you're headed. Ari and Callie. And what was your name again? Grace? Beautiful name. Welcome. Ari and Callie for sure can join me on stage. Grace, you don't have to if you... because this is your first time. I'll still give you something, though, for graduating. And Daryl, I'll give you something for Emily as well that you can take to her. I was going to talk to these two specifically. Grace, I might make it up. It's okay. I'm going to talk about Emily first because Emily Hunter's not here with us this morning. She had too much fun this weekend. I remember the first time I met Emily. It was at Youth Unlimited when I first got here. She walked in the doors and she's like, "Hey, Pastor." And she walked past and I was like, "Who is that girl?" Because I don't know. She then came down to talk to me a little bit more and she said, "My parents really like you. We watch you all the time." I said, if we didn't know about social media stuff and online services, this would be really weird at this moment. But we saw this lightness and this curiosity in Emily as she just engaged with life. She would ask questions. I wish she was here that I could tell her all this in front of her. She challenged me in my faith in some of the questions that she had. She's had quite a journey of life as she's walked this. She brings a lightness to the room. I loved hearing her sing in various voices as she imitated different people. Lois from Family Guy was one of them. If you don't know that voice, I mean, just go on YouTube. It's hilarious. As she would sing in that voice. She had an incredible voice that she wouldn't share with really anybody. And we always tried. She would sing in the vans and the bus on our way down to different conferences we would go to. And that was the only place she would do it in. And so I'm so honored that I got to know Emily over the last 5 years and the young lady she is and is becoming through your guys' parenting, through her influence and different things of people who've influenced her. and just grateful for her in that. Ari, are you worried?
A little bit.
A little bit? What am I going to say? I don't know. You have stepped in different ways. I remember the Christmas Eve that we forced Ari, or Deb forced Ari, to sing solo. And I think you're a little bit terrified. And I think Deb and I both said to Ari, we just need you to smile a little bit. Look like you want to be there. Right? Yeah, kind of. Ari, you've been gifted with a voice. And it's a beautiful voice that you have allowed us to enter into. And we pray, and I pray, that it continues on as you continue worshiping Jesus, as you continue seeking him in your future endeavors here and wherever you end up. Grateful for your curiosity, your willingness to step in, to smile now, right? We hope that we get to see that more as you engage more in this. Callie. Yes. Callie's recently joined us. She comes on her own. Reminds me of me as a young, I was younger than you, but faithfully sitting right there in the front. Folks, we can learn something from these young people. You don't have to sit in the back. Hank, I'm going to keep taking the back rows away, so this will become the back row. Oh, he'll just sit in this back row instead. Sorry, Hank. Folks, we can learn something, though. What it looks like to engage faithfully, to be here, to come, to invest into time, into this place. I go into Home Hardware quite frequently. My kids love going there for the free suckers. Only when I buy something, though, that's the rule. They don't get it unless I buy something. But to be greeted with the warmness that Callie brings and the welcomeness to come in and talk and engage with both me and my kids and others as I, you know, as I watched and seen, and her willingness to serve. She was deeply wanting to serve at VBS this year, and her work schedule didn't permit it. And Deb walked into, Deb, you're like in most of these stories now. Deb walked into Home Hardware and was talking to Callie, and Callie was saying, I want to serve, but I just can't. And Deb's like, well, I got stuff for you in my vehicle then. And so Callie's been working at home on stuff and things for us.
They're downstairs,
so
by the way.
They're downstairs. A huge help for us. And so we're so grateful for that. And Grace. Welcome. Really awkward standing on stage, isn't it? Just a little bit. Oh, grateful for the work you've put in. I don't know you at all, so grateful for the work you do. You go to RF as well?
She does.
Do you used to go to RF? That's what you should say.
Oh yeah, I guess.
You used to go. Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
Well,
grateful for the work that you put in. Grateful that you're here, obviously supporting friends of yours, as you know, I've been invited by them, I'm guessing, and
forced to come.
Just grateful for all three of you and Emily as well for the work that you've put in. And I want to give you guys something as you think about your next step in your journey, that you think about us as a church bodies supporting you. And Grace, you're probably like, I don't know what this is going to be. This is weird, but that's fine. I'm going to give it to you, and then I'm going to pray over you guys as well as you enter into your next stage. So let me grab these. Yes, gifts. And as we say to our kids, and our kids remind us, you get what you get, and you don't get upset. You're welcome. Let me pray for you guys, and then you guys can have a seat. Or you can probably stay, though.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these graduates. We thank you for the example of David, of telling us what it means to put our faithfulness into you. And God, as they enter into their next phase, the next starting line of their journey, Jesus, we pray that it would be marked by a life that looks to you for direction, looks to you for guidance, looks to you for safety, for peace, for hope. Jesus, as a church family, we stand behind them, supporting through prayer, supporting through mentoring, supporting through whatever they need. And so, God, we pray for this next journey of theirs, that you would go before them, that you would prepare their steps, and that their next phase in their journey would be honoring to you. Jesus, we thank you, we praise you. Amen. You guys can have a seat. We're trying to jam-pack a whole lot of things into one morning. As we enter into communion together, time to prepare our hearts for all that God has done for each one of us, I want to read the passage from 1 Corinthians where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth of what he heard. And he says these words, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" It is our practice here that we would come to the front and receive the elements and then go back to our seats, and then we would partake all together as one body. So as Blake plays for us, would you prepare your heart to receive what God has for you this morning and come to the table this morning?
I was a wretch, I remember who I was.